I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Well, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
Aren't you guys introducing Kate Gould from the Friends Committee on National Legislation? They just lobby against war all day, every day up there on Capitol Hill. And it's cause for celebration, believe it or not. Welcome back to the show, Kate. Been a while.
It has been a while. Great to be back, Scott.
Very happy to have you here, and especially on this occasion. So tell us about the product of all of your great work up there that recently passed the House here.
Well, it has been an extraordinary effort, extraordinary team effort that we have been privileged to be a part of, that we just saw history being made on the House floor. So we had, there's just this week in the House of Representatives, we had Yemen War Powers legislation pass the House. So 248 members of Congress voted to end all U.S. military participation in the war. And now this goes to the Senate, and we're expecting the Senate to vote in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. And this is the war in Yemen. I know, I'm sorry, there's so many wars. We got to make sure.
Sorry.
I keep track.
Which
genocide we're inflicting on people?
Well, and there's actually more than one war in Yemen. So this is on ending U.S. military participation in the Saudi-led war in Yemen.
Yes, against the Houthis. An important point there. Okay, and now so... tell us about, I heard somewhere, but I'm sorry I didn't do the work, but that's why you're here. I heard somewhere, though, that there was an amendment, an interpretation, a thing that was added that didn't just make an exclusion for the war with AQAP, but actually made an exclusion for sharing intelligence with the Saudis about who to bomb over there as long as it's in the name of protecting civilians, which is the BS they've been shoveling all this time.
Yes.
That's why they're doing this, is to protect, because, hey, if we weren't helping them bomb, it would be even worse than it is.
So there was an exclusion passed as an amendment to this legislation. Ken Buck, Congressman Ken Buck from Colorado, offered an amendment that would exclude from this legislation the ending of U.S. Intelligence sharing with the Saudis. So it would allow that to continue in the war. And so I should have said, and when I said that this was a vote on ending U.S. military participation, it's a vote on ending a part of U.S. military participation in the Saudi-led war in Yemen. And I think if we had a clean vote, that would have passed as well. We would have had the votes, but there was this amendment added. So we're not happy about the amendment. However, I do think it's important to see, to look at the bigger picture here. I mean,
but wait, is it as bad as I said, though?
Well, so it allows for continued U.S. Intelligence sharing with the Saudis, and implicitly it allows for the U.S. to continue with targeting assistance with the Saudis. I think, but I would zoom out for a moment just to look at the bigger picture here. I mean, we do, the Trump administration has threatened to veto this legislation. Neither the Trump administration nor, any administration since the Vietnam War has recognized the legitimacy of the War Powers Resolution. I think it's continues to be extraordinarily important. It's really, the way that to legislatively end this war may not, likely be through this vehicle. anyway. So what's really, really important is to send a strong signal. I mean, we saw that the Senate vote in December, when the Senate voted on very similar legislation, that had a tangible impact on the negotiations, that really told the Saudis that there's no way out but through a diplomatic solution. And it was, crucial leverage to get to the Stockholm Agreement, partial ceasefire for Hodeidah, and that has, resulted in saving who knows how many lives. So this is sending a very strong signal. And if we can get this through the Senate, then that'll be the first time ever that Congress will have sent war powers legislation to the president's desk since 1973, when the original War Powers Act was enacted.
Yeah. Well, believe me, I agree with you about everything that you said there. Just playing devil's advocate a little bit. And it is unfortunate that that concession had to be made. But then again, like you're saying, it's mostly symbolic anyway. And so even if the detail is changed in there, it's unlikely he's going to sign it and say, okay, you guys are right, but I'm going to use this loophole to keep providing intelligence. It's really an on or off switch. It's either going to work or it's not. And what it really comes down to is the Congress demanding an end to this, which happens to be, by the way, the worst thing that the U.S. government is doing on the face of the earth right now. And that's really saying something.
Right. I mean, this is the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. Arguably, the United States has more leverage over saving lives, over saving more lives in Yemen than anywhere else on the planet, as you're saying. I mean, it is millions of people are on the brink of starving to death as a result of the Saudi-led coalition's de facto blockade. And so this sends a really important signal. And I think, it's the signal is not so much in the in the details and the weeds of the legislation. It's really on the bigger picture. We know that Saudis and the Emiratis, that they've invested an enormous amount of money and energy into trying to win Congress over, and it's not working. Right. Not anymore. I mean, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah, it's really amazing, too, because Saudi Arabia that we're talking about here, that's why Obama went along with it in the first place. Well, geez, the Saudis want us to do it. I guess we got to, kind of thing, and they went ahead. So they sure have a lot of sway. And I guess, well, in your experience up there on the Hill, it started with the bombing of the bus full of children, and then very soon the murder of Khashoggi is what really did it, right?
Well, I would say, I think what's often missed is that the momentum has been building for a while. And, when I started lobbying on this, when I started talking to members of Congress and getting them, and asking them to sign on to Congressman Khanna's legislation, I think it was originally offered by Congressman Khanna and the late Congressman Walter Jones, sadly departed us recently. But when I was talking to members of Congress about this, they didn't even know that this war was going on. They didn't know that the Saudis were waging a war in Yemen. They didn't know. So this was in 2017. I mean, they didn't know that that the U.S. and let alone that the U.S. was playing such a crucial role in enabling this kind of these mass atrocities. So we went from Congress just not even knowing that it was happening to real momentum and huge shifts in U.S. policy. And so we had, but I think you're right that certainly the momentum had picked up with the bus bombing in August. And seeing those 40 small graves, and then there was another important part, which I know is going to get a ton of attention outside of DC perhaps, but on the Hill it really aggravated a lot of members, which was when Secretary Pompeo issued his certification saying that the Saudis and the Emiratis were continuing to, they were meeting these requirements that Congress had set up, and then they, despite all evidence to the contrary, that no, they were not increasing access to, humanitarian goods, and, they weren't coming through on their commitments, but that was the claim. And so the fact that a lot of members of Congress really felt lied to by the administration. And so that was very upsetting for a lot of them and made them, want to do something. And then of course, yes, we had the murder and dismemberment of Jamal Khashoggi. And I think the momentum has just continued to build.
Yeah. Well, and certainly I know, and I didn't mean to sell your work short. I know that you and a lot of others have been working very hard on this for 4 years straight now. And, you know, it, the most important work. And geez, for the payoff, I mean, it took this long to get this done. It says a lot for your character that you're willing to stick to it for this long over this issue, which is so important. Which, as you said, you can't even get these congressmen a lot of times to even acknowledge this is happening. They don't know anything about it. When over here, I'm looking at it like, wow, you know, not just our government, but our society, our civilization, our country is in danger of being permanently labeled as the worst form of barbarians, you know, for doing this to these people. And yet you can't even get it on the news, and you can't even get people in Congress to even acknowledge that there's this medieval starvation campaign against this civilian population, and we're the ones behind it. And that this is happening. This is something Iran is doing to somebody. This is something that the USA is. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm just ranting, but the level of inattention in comparison to the level of catastrophe being inflicted on these people is just remarkable. It's some kind of Guinness Book of World Records thing that it could be this way. But anyway, so it is good to see that. And I guess, I'm sorry, back to the business. Yeah. The Senate is expected to pass this any week now. Is that correct?
Yes. So they're going in recess next week. And after they come back, so, you know, likely around early March, we expect that this will be taken up on the Senate floor. You know, but we're not taking any vote for granted. We need 51 votes to pass this in the Senate. Of course, the stakes are higher than ever. I mean, that we really, it would be absolutely devastating. It would send the, you know, wrong signal if this were to not pass the Senate. Right. So, you know, it's really important. I mean, we, yeah, so the vote threshold is 51 votes. We don't have to get 60. It is 51. And we do have 51 senators who voted for this as recently as December. And so, you know, and of course, the situation has only gotten worse, and the warnings about, you know, millions more people on the brink of starving to death. And now the Trump administration, you know, has refused to send a determination on MBS's involvement in the murder of Khashoggi. And he's also, and the administration has refused to send another, you know, has refused to comply with a law that Congress had set out to require the administration to say, okay, we're going to continue to support the Saudis, and then they have to, you know, meet these certain requirements, and they haven't even sent anything up to Congress. So, I mean, there's only more reasons to support for, you know, more senators to support this legislation. And I think, I mean, we hope that, you know, the maybe a silver lining of this Buck Amendment is that it'll actually be easier for a number of Republicans to support it, to, you know, change their vote and support it. So that's what we need. But the Trump administration is really working hard. And no doubt, you know, Saudi-funded lobbyists and various others are as well, to try to peel Republicans off, and so to prevent us from getting 51. I mean, you know, we're talking about, is that there's 51 that are still in the Senate, and so it's a close margin, and we you know, and we don't have a lot of time, so. But yes, we do hope that we can get this through the Senate and then to the president. And that, you know, again, that'll be the first time we do manage to do that. It'll be the first time since 1973 that a war powers resolution has ever gotten to the president's desk, that we've ever had legislation actually enforcing, you know, the War Powers Act was passed after, you know, in the Vietnam War era to prevent another Vietnam, to prevent the kind of scenario where you're told, oh, you don't need, you know, we don't need to involve Congress because we're just doing some, you know, helping out with in a military advisory capacity and you know, intelligence sharing and such. And so, you know, the members of Congress then thought, okay, we want to prevent that from happening. They passed the War Powers Resolution to make it really, you know, much easier for Congress to reassert itself, but it's never been used all the way through. I mean, it rarely ever been invoked at all, and it hasn't been, you know, there hasn't been legislation passed by both chambers. So this would really be historic and so important on Yemen, on the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, and also, but also on the broader picture of just, you know, ending endless wars, on actually getting Congress to stand up and assert itself and weigh in on war and peace as required by the Constitution.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sorry, hang on just one second. Hey, y'all, I was talking with Derek Scher from Listen and Think Audiobooks, and he agrees with me that it's so important that the Trump White House hears from large numbers of Americans who support his efforts to end the wars in Syria and Afghanistan, especially from combat veterans like himself. The president must hear voices of support from out here in the real world to counteract the cries of the war party in D.C. and on TV. Now, the phone lines are jammed, but they have a pretty good email system there at whitehouse.gov. Email me, scott@scotthorton.org, when you do, and Derek Scher at Listen and Think Audiobooks will give you two free ones for your effort. And now, you know what? Let me make a suggestion. I have no idea if this is really useful, and I absolutely will let you be the judge of whether this is useful at all. But it's important to me, I guess, especially because I didn't know this. And I knew that a lot of generals back 4 years ago thought this was a bad idea. But it had escaped my attention until I went and Googled and found a Wall Street Journal article from January of 2015 talking about how the Special Operations Forces were working with the Houthis to target and kill Al-Qaeda guys. And that then, these were the same guys who then Mark Perry was reporting in March were so upset that now, I can't believe that we're going to go ahead and destroy these guys. But I was thinking, you know, there's the one of the worst kind of data points about this thing was reported by Save the Children Foundation. Famous from the commercials on TV, right? And I believe they have a great reputation among conservatives, right? So I was thinking, when you talk to the Republicans, if you start with the Save the Children Foundation thing about, whoa, this is really a lot worse than you know, let me clue you in kind of thing, and then you paint it in partisan terms and go, look at this Wall Street Journal article. Republicans love the Wall Street Journal. It says here that Obama's government, the military was working with these guys because the real enemy is Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula that did the coal bombing and tried to do the Detroit airplane bombing. Those are the threat to the United States. But then just a few months later, Obama, that dastardly dastard Obama, made this terrible decision to turn around and take the other side of the war in a way that is actually benefiting those guys. So that's how you can, as a conservative Republican senator, how you can oppose this war in a way that's not confrontational against Trump, that blames this on Obama's mistaken strategic move here, and that the reason you're supporting it is because you think it's time to focus back on AQAP again. Now, I think that the war against AQAP is also counterproductive and horrible and murderous. However, it ain't 1/100th as bad as the rest of this war is on the other side, and as I think you understand. So I was trying to think of like a way to pitch this to conservatives to get them to feel like, you know, on the social psychology of it or whatever, to make it okay for them not to be Rand Paul about it or some kind of thing, but to be themselves and say that, yeah, this is Obama's fault. This was a bad choice they made, and now it's time to wrap this thing up. And so, yes, I can get on board for it. So sorry for going on, but maybe you can use that a little bit.
Yeah, and the longer this goes on, the more that we're just empowering Al-Qaeda. Yeah,
I mean, and it's true, right? You could show them a map where it's, here's Al-Qaeda territory now is this giant thing. It's not just a county or two. It's huge areas of territory now.
Yes, and then, you know, and you have the recent CNN reporting about how we have these U.S. weapons that we sold to the Saudis and to the Emiratis, and then they have transferred them to Al-Qaeda and another, you know, and
the Houthis too, right? Both sides of the war there on the ground.
Right.
And that's CNN saying that. That's amazing.
Right. Including, I mean, these are weaponry, you know, MRAPs. And so, yeah, if you want to give, for all the exaggeration that you hear in D.C., you know, on the Hill about Iran's role, if you give the Houthis MRAPs, and then it does make it pretty easy for Iranian intelligence to take a look at that and get a better idea of how to more and to kill more American soldiers. I mean, it's crazy to think that we still hear, and we heard this on the floor, of course, that for the opposition to this legislation, that it's saying that this would embolden Iran or Al-Qaeda, when, of course, all the evidence is to the contrary. And then, you know, we also have the AP reporting about how the UAE has, I mean, literally been paying off, you know, Al-Qaeda fighters and then recruiting them to the ranks, and with hundreds of them. So,
and committing horrific war crimes in their prisons as well.
Right, right. Certainly, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there was a brand new one out. I think the Daily Beast did one like that as well recently. Or maybe was that another AP story about severe, severe atrocities going on in those prisons?
Yes.
Well, yeah. So listen, I mean, I just can't thank you enough for this work, and a sincere congratulations to you, because you deserve a big part of the share of the credit for your effort here. I know you've worked on this, you know, day in and day out for years now, and rallying people and educating them on it and every other thing. So, thank you. Because you're right. This is world historical thing. They're invoking the War Powers Act for the very first time ever here in the U.S. House. So, man.
Yes, exactly. It's really exciting. And it's been, you know, so exhilarating to be part of, you know, this big effort. I mean, I would say it's just, you know, not very often do you have this coalition where it's Oxfam America and Freedom Works and Presbyterian Church USA and, you know, and then Win Without War, all the peace groups, and then various Yemeni American groups. So, I mean, there's just so many amazing organizations that have been part of this big, you know, progressive movement groups, Indivisible and Move On and Credo. And, you know, it's just, it's really exciting to see that, and then I know the Libertarian Institute, and, you know, so there's been lots, the whole range of different groups that have been involved in this, and you know, Congressman Khanna has really been leading the charge in the House, and also I'm just thinking of the late Congressman Walter Jones, because he really was a champion of it from the very beginning. And I wish he could have, you know, been there for this final passage of it. But
yeah, it was said he just barely missed it. But, you know, he must have known that it was sure to pass coming up here.
Yes, that's true.
Right. Because, I mean, as soon as the Democrats won the midterm, it was clear that the vote was close enough last fall that once the Democrats come, and Pelosi, I guess, had already committed to letting it come to the floor and whatever. Right. So he must have known that it was going to go through.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, that's true.
Poor old guy. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, listen, again, thank you so much and congratulations on this. And it's the most important work that there is to be doing, I think. So you. And keep us updated. I'll be checking my email box. It's the Friends Committee on National Legislation. Oh, by the way, you want to tell them how they can support the FCNL?
Yes, thank you. Yes, you can go to fcnl.org and you can sign up for our list there and get action alerts. And you can go to our Middle East page, fcnl.org/Middle East, and get more information about Yemen, about other work we're doing to end these wars.
All right. And right here on the front page at fcnl.org is House Votes to End U.S. War in Yemen. So you can read all those details there and how to chip in. So thank you very much again for your time, Kate.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott. Take care.
All right, you guys. Kate Gould from the Quaker Lobby up there in Washington, D.C. What would we ever do without him? Seriously. All right, y'all. Thanks. Find me at libertarianinstitute.org. At scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, and reddit.com/Scott Horton Show. Oh yeah, and read my book, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan, at foolserrand.us.